This is Doug Miller. Judgment Day is coming, and it is inevitable. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with this book in hand and to speak into this microphone and to touch hearts and lives all over this area. The Word of God indeed is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And many of you out there need your faith strengthened. Many of you need to hear the truth of what this book says. So you bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the 8th chapter of the book of Esther, back in the Old Testament. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the prayers and the support of the saints of the living God and those who are interested in this ministry. And I'm telling you, we cannot exist and have any kind of impact at all. We can exist, but we really can't do anything of any value without your prayers. If you are saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, you have an open door right into the throne room. And your Father and your God wants to hear from you. And while he is hearing from you, please pray for Dialogue. We need the prayers and the support of the saints of God. Tell others about us. You're the only advertisers that we have. And, of course, as I always say on here, we would always love to hear from you. Great pleasure for us to hear from the people who listen, to know that you're out there, to answer any questions that you have, to help you in any way that we can. And I always emphasize this because it is the absolute truth. There are no strings attached to anything that you, to Dialogue. We do not come back and beg you for money. We don't put your name on a mailing list. We want to help you however we can. So, write to us. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you would like to email Dialogue, we can deal with that, too. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, and you might want to pull that down and listen to any of the broadcasts that are on there. Once again, no cost, no strings attached. Our web page, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. Okay, dialogueministries.org. Finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, the telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, and I will get back with you. Okay, let's get into the Word of God. Now, I want you to know something, all of you who are listening to me. God has appointed a time in which he will exact judgment. The word judgment appears many times in the Bible. It is contained throughout the Bible. And, of course, one of the last scenes that we see in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, is what is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. It is an amazing thing. The number of people who are going through this world with a sort of no-fault attitude toward God and toward themselves. The truth of the matter is that God the Father hath committed all judgment to the Son, and it is very clear from this Bible that a day of judgment is coming. I don't know who you are, where you are, or what you are, but I know this. You will give an account. If you are a believer, then you will give an account of yourself at the Bema of Christ after we, the church, have been caught up together with the in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will give an account. Now, the account that we as believers give will not be to determine whether or not we're saved or going to be in heaven. Of course, we're going to be in heaven. That's the Lord's promise to us. But there will be an account given of what we did on this earth for our Lord, our service to him, our service to others, and everything. Nothing's going to be lost. And we will, of course, receive rewards for what we did here. I'm talking of believers. And for the unbeliever, there is a sure and certain day of judgment coming. You will not escape this. All of the hidden things of your heart are going to be made manifest in that day. If you think that somehow, you can go on in your sin and that it won't make any difference, guess again, friend. You are absolutely wrong. And an account is being kept, and it will all come up against you in that day. Now, we are looking at the end of Esther. We have got the rest of chapter 8, which is about 6 more verses here, 7 more verses. And then chapter 9 and a very short chapter 10, and we will be through with this book. What we have seen up to now, just by way of review, is a man named Haman, a very evil and wicked man, who intended to destroy the Jews purely out of malice and out of spite, as far as he was concerned. But we know very well that the real force behind him, the real one that was involved in this wickedness and doing this, was the one we know as Satan. He has a particular enmity toward and hatred for the Jews. It is from the Jews that Messiah comes, who crushes the head of the serpent. It is from the Jews that the one comes who brings the enemy down, who puts him out of commission and destroys him, that has the power of death, that is the devil, and delivers them, who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so it's easy to see why Satan hates the Jews. And we've seen this plot unfolding, and we have seen how God moved to put a woman, very beautiful woman, in a position of power and authority and influence so as to put a stop to this. But now what about those who had plotted to kill all of the Jews, to destroy the Jews? And it wasn't just Haman. He had his associates. He had his allies in this. I want you all, you've heard me say this on here before, and here it comes again. You listen to me carefully. When you raise up your hand against the chosen people of the Lord, you are bringing down wrath and judgment upon yourself, I don't care who you are or what you are. I don't care what arguments you can muster. And there are a lot of people, you know, who are coming up with a lot of crazy arguments today. There are a lot of Jew haters out there and Israel haters. I can remember when I was at the University of Regensburg in Germany. I was talking to a German over there one time about the situation in the Middle East. And this has been, many years ago now, back in the early 70s, actually. Things hadn't changed much, not much different now than what they were then. And I remember this man telling me, he said, you know, I have nothing against Jews, but I hate Zionism. Well, I have heard that in so many ways from so many different people since then. All of these people who hate Israel and want to wipe them out, how quickly they will all tell you, or most of them anyway, that they have nothing against Jews. Oh, no, we're not anti-Semitic. We just hate Zionism. We hate the nation of Israel. Friends, this makes no sense to me whatever. People who hate the nation of Israel and want to wipe them out, they feel that way because, regardless of what they say, in fact, they hate Jews. Well, let's take a look at what we have here then. We broke off at verse 9 last time of chapter 8, and we saw there were king scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Well, what did he write? He wrote and sent out orders to countermand this terrible decree that was sent out by Haman to destroy the Jews. And let's read on in verse 10 here. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, or Adar, whichever. Now, this is, of course, as we saw last time, a countermandering of the king's order and Haman's order, and we see it going out to all the provinces. Now, if you wonder, you think, man, this is a large area to cover. Yes, it was a large area, but don't you be deceived. These men were swift, and it didn't take them all that long to get out to the farthest reaches of the kingdom and of the empire. There were post riders set up, and for all of you who, you know, you've heard of what is called the post office's motto, neither rain, sleet, snow, nor gloom of night stay these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Well, that was written by Herodotus of these very Persian post riders that we had then. In those days, in about a week, you could go a long way. And it didn't take all that long for this word to get out. Now, here is the thing that might, as you look at it, it might trouble some of you. The idea that, we are, those of us who are Christians, we know what our Lord said. If a man will smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well. Our Lord said, And we have it from Paul. He is quoting from the, from the book of Proverbs back in the Old Testament. We read it in Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We know that that's what the word of the Lord is to us. But we also know and take note of what that passage says. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And in this case, there is no doubt about it in this man's mind who's talking to you, that this is really of the Lord. His vengeance that he took was swift and it was sudden. And if you will notice, it fell on all of the people who were against the Jews here. And you think, well, what about the little ones here? What about the women? Why them? I want to tell you why. I want to tell you why. When you, all of you out there, you listen to me very carefully. When you are living a life that is wicked, evil, sinful, and contrary to the will of the Lord, don't you imagine that your family won't suffer from that? They will. Your children will suffer. Your wives will suffer. Wives, if you're the ones living wickedly, don't imagine that your children won't suffer. They will. And you can say all you want to. That, it's not just the children didn't do anything. Well, the children didn't do anything. But your own wickedness and evilness is bringing down judgment and trouble and pain and suffering on these little ones. And it will happen, surely and certainly. Remember, I'm sure all of you who are familiar with the Bible at all will remember that when Joshua led the children of Israel across Jordan into Canaan. When they went in and took that area over, the commandment of the Lord was, go in there and destroy everything. Destroy them down to the earth. Man, woman, child, beast, wipe them out. And, of course, there are many people out there who simply can't understand that. But it is simply because that the people in that area at that time had corrupted themselves to the point that there was no salvation for them. There was no saving them. The best thing that could have happened to them, difficult as this may be for us to believe, is that they have an end put to them. And, once again, I cannot sit here at this microphone and tell you that I would have given such an order, but I can tell you this, that when God sends that order out and God says to do it, and you can put this in the bank, it is the right thing to do, and it is holy and just, and His judgments are true and righteous altogether. Now, Haman and his confederates have brought wrath down upon all of these people. And God's judgment is swift and sure and certain, and it is righteous. No question about it. And we have here in verse 13, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews for the fear of the Jews, fell upon them. Now, once again, at the risk of belaboring a point, when God's judgment falls, there is rejoicing. This man talking to you, I want you to know that in my personal prayers, I pray many times for the coming of the kingdom on this earth. And when I say the coming of the kingdom, I'm not talking about some vague heavenly thing off in the heavens. No, the promise of God is the messianic kingdom will come, and Messiah will reign in glory on this earth. And he will judge true and righteous judgment. And he will reign from Jerusalem and sit on the throne of his father David. And in that day, the Israel will be the head of the nations, and Jerusalem the center. And men will flow up out of all the Gentile tribes to bow the knee and to declare that Yahweh Elohim indeed is the only true God, and Jesus Christ our Lord is indeed Messiah. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. I am praying for that. But I know that in praying for that, I am also praying and have to pray for two other things. One is the rapturing of the church out of here. And the second is, immediately following that, a period of terrible trial called the Great Tribulation. It is surely and certainly coming. And it will affect this whole world. I don't think these days are far off. I think we are looking at them. And at that time, and it is a dreadful thing to have to pray for this guy, but I can feel comfortable in praying it, in even though it is painful to have to pray, because God has expressed it as his will. It's what he's going to do, and he has said that he's going to do it. And therefore, it has to be right. Where do you stand, friend? I want to talk to you, and I want all of you to look out there at this world. You cannot be utterly blind. You must indeed be able to see the problems that face this world. You must indeed be able to see that the time is growing short. Something is about to pop. Something is about to break. The church will be gone very shortly, I am persuaded. And if you are one of those left behind, you will wish you had listened to people like me and done something while you had a chance. What are you to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to turn to him and receive him as Savior and Lord. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.